Welcome back to AI Unraveled, your strategic daily briefing on the business impact of AI on November 27th, 2025. Today, the battlegrounds are shifting from the data center to your face and from domestic labs to offshore havens. The biggest story? The smart glasses market just turned into a global duel. Alibaba has officially launched its Quark AI glasses to challenge Meta's dominance. At a price point of roughly $268 and deeply integrated with Alipay and Taobao, this isn't just a gadget, it's a play for the next computing platform in the massive Asian market. Meanwhile, a sobering reality check for the workforce. A massive new study from MIT and Oak Ridge National Laboratory has identified a hidden AI iceberg. They estimate that 11.7% of the entire US workforce is currently exposed to replacement, not just disruption, but replacement. That represents $1.2 trillion in wages on the line, affecting HR, logistics, and finance far more than previously thought. We're also tracking a security breach at an OpenAI vendor that exposed user emails, and the cat and mouse game of Chinese tech giants moving training centers to Southeast Asia to get their hands on NVIDIA chips. We have a packed briefing on Bezos, HP's layoffs, and the EU's crackdown on social media. But before we start, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. Leverage our zero-noise intelligence to own the conversation in your industry. Secure your strategic podcast consultation now by emailing us at info@jamgatech.com or fill the form in the show notes. Let's unravel the AI Daily Business News Rundown.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you're looking for the fastest way to get up to speed on the biggest technological shifts happening right now, you are definitely in the right place.
We've gone through a whole stack of essential reading.
We have articles covering these huge and sometimes pretty jarring shifts in AI infrastructure, the impact on the global workforce, and some, you know, incredible new applications. We're ready to distill it all for you.
Yep.
So today, our mission is to cut through that typical AI hype. We really want to understand the immediate kind of hidden consequences of this crazy expansion.
I think that's the key word, hidden.
It is. We're going to look at the massive energy drain that is literally pushing computation into orbit, and then we'll pivot to this massive unseen economic threat.
One that's not just hitting tech workers.
No, not at all. It's targeting white-collar office workers all across the country.
It's a deep contradiction, really, and the sources we found highlight it perfectly. I mean, on one hand, you have AI achieving this incredible potential.
Like what we're seeing in medicine.
Exactly. Breakthroughs in diagnosing these super complex genetic diseases, things that were just unsolvable before. But on the other side, to actually sustain that, it takes an astronomical amount of physical resources.
You're talking about energy.
Energy, new infrastructure, and it's driving these geopolitical costs that are, I mean, they're fundamentally reshaping how global business even works.
Okay, let's start there. With the infrastructure shocker. This is where that whole resource problem becomes, you know, really visible.
Right.
Because if you heard about Microsoft restarting old nuclear plants for their data centers and thought that was the limit.
Which was already pretty extreme.
It was. But you really need to hear about Google's strategy. They've confirmed this thing they're calling Project Suncatcher.
It sounds like something out of a movie.
It does. It's a radical plan to run large-scale AI compute from, and I'm not kidding, from orbit. By 2027, using space-based TPUs.
Exactly. And for our listener, just to be clear, TPUs are tensor processing units. These are Google's own custom chips built specifically for machine learning and training huge AI models.
So why space? I mean, what's driving them off planet?
It's what the sources call infrastructure pressure. And this isn't some science fiction vanity project. This is a desperate search for energy.
How desperate are we talking?
We're talking about data centers that consume power on the scale of a small city. I mean, training one of these massive models now requires a facility that just drains the grid faster than we can bring new power online.
Whether it's solar, wind, anything.
Anything. And then you have local resistance, land constraints, the amount of water you need for cooling. Google is basically saying the planet has become too small for AI's electricity bill, so they have to leave.
And what are the actual advantages of doing this in space? Is it worth it?
The benefits are huge, and they directly solve all those Earth-based problems. In orbit, you get constant, much stronger solar power because there's no atmosphere.
You eliminate the night cycle?
Completely. And cooling is actually easier in a vacuum, so you get rid of the need for massive amounts of water. It's a solution where you spend a crazy amount of money up front to guarantee your energy supply forever.
And this is where it gets really interesting because a clear pattern is emerging from the sources. but with just wildly different strategies for the exact same problem.
Yeah.
You've got Microsoft turning nuclear plants back on, Amazon buying up gas-powered energy assets, and now Google just leaving the planet.
Yeah.
So is this the future cost of productivity, or are we watching the construction of the single most expensive computing system ever built?
That is the big question. And the costs might outweigh the gains.
Right.
And, you know, when you connect that energy problem to the global hardware crunch, you see geopolitics making everything move even faster. We've got sources detailing Chinese tech giants, specifically Alibaba and ByteDance, aggressively leasing data centers in Singapore and Malaysia.
Okay, so why are they moving to Southeast Asia?
It's all about access. It lets them train their big models using the most advanced NVIDIA chips.
The ones that are blocked by U.S. export controls.
Exactly. The flagship ones they can't get for use in China. So if you can't use them at home, you just move your whole compute operation to a place where you can. You sidestep the policy.
And of course, there's a political response. The sources show Beijing is fighting back, mandating that any new government-funded data centers have to rely on local chips.
Right, from companies like Huawei, it basically creates a firewall, shutting NVIDIA out of those government contracts.
Meanwhile, back in the U.S., former President Trump floated a really fascinating idea on this.
Yeah, that was interesting.
He indicated he might allow NVIDIA to export their H200 chips, which are still high-end, just a little less powerful, but with a condition.
A pretty stunning condition.
That the U.S. government gets a 15% cut of the proceeds.
It's remarkable.
It is. The most advanced computation on Earth is now being treated and leveraged like a strategic mineral.
That's the perfect analogy. I mean, semiconductors really have become the new oil in this 21st century power struggle. And it's forcing compute capacity to either go overseas or, you know, like Google, literally into orbit.
And that massive constraint forces every single sector to rethink its structure. So let's pivot now from that global picture to the domestic economic impact. Let's talk about the MIT study and this pretty ominous iceberg index labor simulation.
Okay.
The headline number is sobering enough. AI can handle tasks that are equivalent to 11.7% of all U.S. wages.
And this is where we have to dig into the details, because most of the news coverage just focuses on tech layoffs, right? So software companies.
Yep.
But this MIT index is incredibly granular. It models 151 million American workers across 32,000 different skills. And what it shows is this huge gap between the threat you see and the one you don't.
Okay, unpack that gap for us. What's the visible versus the hidden threat?
So the visible threat, the tech layoffs, that only represents about 2.2% of the total wage exposure. It's about $211 billion. That's what gets the headlines.
Right.
But the hidden potential for automation, the stuff sitting in administrative, finance, and support roles all across the country, that's as high as $1.2 trillion.
Wow, that's nearly 10 times higher.
10 times higher. The biggest part of the iceberg is underwater, and it's affecting all these roles people just don't normally associate with AI risk.
Which means the geographic impact is shifting too. It's not just the Silicon Valley problem anymore, where a startup cuts a few engineering jobs.
Not at all.
The sources are highlighting manufacturing states with very little tech sector presence, places like Tennessee, North Carolina, and Utah. They're facing the widest exposure gaps in roles like HR, logistics, and finance.
Absolutely. The skills that are easiest to automate, think data entry, writing routine emails, generating documents, basic financial analysis, they're common across every industry, no matter where you are.
So the job displacement issue is not just bigger than we thought.
It's everywhere. It's primarily in these pervasive office and professional roles that touch every single part of the economy. And that is creating a massive, massive policy challenge for state governments.
And the sources say that these states are already using the Iceberg Index platform to run simulations.
They are. They're testing workforce policy scenarios, like what kind of retraining works, which departments to automate first, before they even allocate real budgets.
They have to.
Yeah, they're staring down a multi-trillion dollar economic shift. This goes way beyond just retraining a few thousand software developers.
Okay, so let's pivot from that existential threat to some specific new applications. Let's look at what's actually hitting the consumer market right now.
Good idea.
The race in wearables is really heating up. Alibaba just unveiled their Quark AI glasses, and they come in two different versions.
And these integrate their own large language models, the Qwen AI model, so you get voice control, real-time translation.
And the killer app, it seems.
Right. Using the camera to instantly look up prices and see if something's in stock on the Taobao shopping app.
Which makes them a direct competitor to Meta's Ray-Ban display frames. This whole wearable battle seems to be about which company can get their AI closest to your brain, integrated into your daily life.
It's about perception. Who owns the layer between you and the world?
Shifting to another critical application, education. Former OpenAI researcher Andrei Karpathy is basically sounding the alarm.
Yeah, he is.
He's urging schools to completely abandon any effort to detect AI-generated homework. He says the tools are, and this is a quote, doomed to fail.
His reasoning is pretty compelling. It's all about the speed of progress. He cited Google's internal tests on models like Nano Banana Pro.
What can it do?
Well, not only can it solve complex exam problems perfectly, it can successfully mimic a student's handwriting. The output is just indistinguishable from human work.
So if AI can pass the Turing test for homework,
Karpathy's argument is you'll never be able to detect its use reliably. It's a losing game.
Which leads to his proposed solution, which is pretty radical. He says, shift all high-stakes graded work to secure in-school settings.
Right. And more importantly, redefine the entire goal of education for the AI age. He says students need to be proficient in the use of AI, but also, crucially, be able to exist without it.
That is a huge adaptation challenge for schools and universities.
It's monumental. But while education is grappling with that, we're seeing these amazing life-saving leaps in the medical field. Harvard Medical School just introduced a new AI tool called PopEVE.
And this is for genetic analysis.
Complex genetic analysis, yeah. And what makes it so revolutionary is that it tackles the biggest problem in genetics. False positives.
Okay, explain that.
So when scientists use AI to find disease-causing DNA mutations, they get flooded with variants that look dangerous but are actually benign. For example, DeepMind's alpha-missense, which is a top-tier tool, it flags 44% of people as potentially carrying dangerous variants.
Which must lead to a lot of unnecessary anxiety and testing.
A huge amount. PopEVE gets that false positive rate down to just 11%.
And how does it do that? How is it so much more precise?
It analyzes mutation patterns across hundreds of thousands of species, but the key is that it calibrates its findings against huge data sets of healthy human genomes. That lets it get much better at telling the difference between a rare but harmless quirk and something that's truly going to cause a disease.
And the real-world impact is just profound. The sources highlighted that PopEVE solved about a third of the cases in a group of 31,000 children.
Children with severe developmental disorders who had gone undiagnosed for years.
And beyond just giving a diagnosis, it flagged over 120 genes that had no prior connection to those conditions. So it's expanding our basic understanding of disease.
And that movement from abstract code to real-world life-saving impact is exactly why the enterprise race for AI is so intense right now.
Which is a good place to look at the scale of ambition for a company like OpenAI.
Yeah, they have a very aggressive growth strategy. They're projecting they'll reach 220 million paid ChatGPT subscribers by 2030.
That seems extremely ambitious.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at about 35 million paid users as of mid-2025, and the competition is fierce. Is that realistic?
Well, the playbook they're using is one that's worked before. It's the same model as Slack and Zoom.
The freemium to enterprise pipeline.
Exactly. You hook individual users with the free consumer version, show them how powerful it is, and then you convert their entire company to a massive enterprise-wide subscription. They're projecting a conversion rate of about 8.5% of their weekly active users to hit that 220 million number.
Of course, they're not without competition. We have to talk about the huge new player on the scene, Jeff Bezos' new venture, Project Prometheus.
Right, which has already raised an incredible $6.2 billion.
And their strategy is different. They acquired an agentic AI startup called General Agents.
And agentic AI, just for the listener, is about systems that don't just answer questions. They take autonomous actions to achieve a goal.
Like booking a whole trip for you or managing a supply chain.
Exactly. And Prometheus is focusing that technology specifically on heavy industry auto, aerospace, computer manufacturing. They're targeting high-value automation in physical production.
Before we wrap up the business side, we do have to mention the security caveat here, the OpenAI user data leak from the Mixpanel breach.
We should definitely clarify who was affected. It's important to note this was specifically API customers, so developers who build OpenAI into their own apps. It was not regular consumer ChatGPT users.
And what data was stolen?
It was names, operating system details, and the user IDs linked to the account.
But not the most sensitive stuff.
Correct. The sources confirm that sensitive things like API keys, passwords, and payment info were not compromised. OpenAI cut ties with the Mixpanel immediately and is advising all developers to enable multi-factor authentication.
It's a good reminder that even when you're building systems in orbit, you're still relying on Earth-bound security practices.
Absolutely. And if we, you know, synthesize everything we've talked about today, the main takeaway is pretty undeniable.
What's that?
AI is rapidly moving from being an abstract software tool to being a physical infrastructural force, a force that's demanding unprecedented energy, driving capital into everything from nuclear to space, and at the same time, just reshaping global economic lines.
And reshaping the workforce.
And reshaping the domestic workforce through that automation exposure.
Which brings us right back to the human element. We talked about Andrej Karpathy urging schools to teach a generation to be proficient with AI.
Right.
But when you combine that educational goal with the MIT Iceberg Index, which shows that 11.7% of existing jobs in finance, HR, logistics are exposed to automation, it raises a really profound final question for you, the listener.
It's a big one.
If we succeed, if we teach students to be proficient with AI, what new roles will they actually fill when so many of the common office functions that define a professional life are just gone?
It's the ultimate adaptation challenge of the 21st century.
Thank you for sharing your sources and joining us for this deep dive into the hidden costs and the incredible potential of AI today. We hope you have plenty to mull over.
And that's our strategic rundown for November 27th, 2025. The key takeaway today is displacement. We are seeing displacement in hardware as Alibaba moves to displace Meta's monopoly on smart glasses. We are seeing displacement in labor as HP cuts 6,000 jobs and MIT flags $1.2 trillion in wages at risk. And we are seeing displacement in infrastructure as Chinese firms move physical data centers offshore to bypass sanctions. The question for your business is, are you the one being displaced or are you the one driving the efficiency? The Iceberg Index proves that the impact is often invisible until it's too late. This brings us back to our core mission. Stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. If you need to position your brand as the authority amidst these shifting market forces, we should talk immediately. Leverage our zero-noise intelligence to own the conversation in your industry. Secure your strategic podcast consultation. Now, the link is in the show notes. Finally, if this briefing helped you unravel any aspect of AI today, please like and subscribe to AI Unraveled on your preferred platform. This podcast is researched, produced, and created by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. And we'll be back tomorrow with your next strategic briefing.